Hi, this is Chris Kepler with Does This Happen to You? The podcast where we explore the more bizarre ways of getting through your day. This week, we have stories from another of Don Nelson's books, A Cowgirl Remembers When. And here is The Midnight Ride. This is one of those stories that you laugh at now, but you didn't think it was so funny back then. I was 12 years old when my parents had got a new horse. She was white with black mane, tail, and legs. I thought she looked like a ghost horse, so I named her Stranger. Nah, don't ask. It was a dark and stormy June night. Lightning seemed to flash every 10 minutes or so, and the rain was pouring down. A friend of mine was staying the night, and we wanted to go out riding. Mom and Dad told us we couldn't because it was dark outside, like we couldn't tell or something. We said, all right, and headed off to bed. At least that's what they thought. Once in the bedroom, we dressed in black, grabbed some white bed sheets, and climbed out of the window. My friend and I decided we were going to ride bareback, and for some reason or another, we were going to put glow-in-the-dark paint all over our horses, tie sheets around our shoulders, and run down the road in front of our neighbor's house as fast as we could, moaning and wailing. We were sure he would think we were ghosts and be afraid. After getting Stranger and Aunt Bee from the pasture, we spent close to an hour putting glow-in-the-dark paint all over them and our faces and practiced our wailing, all the while laughing and giggling about how much we were going to scare him. We tied the sheets around our shoulders and jumped aboard our flying ghost. Down the road we flew. "Woo-ah!" we moaned. We knew it had to look scary and sound horrific at most. Past his house we galloped the poor mournful ghosts of some past dead horseman who died a horrible death at the hands of a lynch mob, most likely. An outside light came on at his house. We wailed and moaned louder. Oh, he had to be quaking at two spooks back from the dead astride their glowing horses. Any spook would tell you that you don't haunt on a rainy night with lightning lighting up everything. We looked great as we turned around and headed back by, our sheets flying out behind us, our horses and our faces glowing in the dark. The thud, thud, thud of our horses' hooves hit the ground. We moaned and wailed, and the lightning was lighting everything up around us. We moaned and we screamed, "Ooh, ah, ooh, ah." We turned back up towards our haystack and ran out through the field to the top of a cliff that overlooked our neighbor's house. For the first time, we noticed there must have been some 20 or more cars parked in the driveway. Everybody was standing out underneath the yard light looking around. We could just about see the look of confusion on their faces, not to mention the beers in their hands. They were drunk. The whole blasted crowd was blitzed. We wasted a great prank on a bunch of drunks. Suddenly, a strike of lightning lit up the sky behind us, and we heard voices yell, "There! Up there on the cliff!" We smiled to ourselves. We did it. We got everybody's attention. Boy, howdy, we were going to have a funny story to tell at school on Monday. Suddenly, there was a loud bang. Man, the thunder was getting close. A bullet whizzed by my head. I swore I could hear it hit the tree behind me. Oh, shoot, he was shooting at us. Who shoots at ghosts? We shedded the sheets and ran for home, stopping only to put the horses in their pasture. We made it back to the house that night in about 2 seconds. After climbing back into my bedroom, we made a vow that we would never do that again, and if we did, we wouldn't stand atop the cliff to see how everything went. Moral of the story: if you're a mortal ghost, just remember, you're not immortal. The Cougar Hunter. I had just turned 16 and was coming home from basketball practice in my dad's pickup. It was dark and snowing as I rounded the corner a mile from our house and saw a sight not too many get to see. It all happened so fast, I still see it ever so clearly in my mind. My headlights illuminated the scene. A deer ran onto the road, which caused me to slam on the brakes, but before it could come to a stop, a large brown object leapt from the edge of the road and onto the deer. I knew what it was from the many times in my life I had seen one. It was a cougar. It grabbed the deer by the hips with both claws and clamped its teeth down onto the deer's back. I honked the horn and flooded the gas pedal. The cougar paid me little attention as I bumped into it with the pickup. It pulled the helpless deer down on the road and leapt to its neck. I jumped from the pickup and screamed. It was the first time in my life I did not have a gun. The deer fell to the ground, and I realized there was little I could do for it. Even at this point, if I could get the cougar off of it, the deer most likely was injured so badly it wouldn't live. The cougar turned its head and looked at me with its face covered in the deer's blood. I was about 20 steps in front of the pickup and staring a hungry cougar in the face. He turned away from the deer, crouched down, and stared at me as if seeing dessert. I slowly backed away towards the pickup. I felt my heart jump into my throat as I bumped up against the pickup's bumper. The cougar took a half-crouched step towards me. My big mouth had just gotten me in trouble again. I silently thanked God I had left the pickup door open. As I rounded the door, the cougar took about 3 fast steps towards me and then retreated back to the deer's carcass. The feelings I felt were mixed. I felt relieved I was in the pickup and not cat food. However, I also felt a little irked. These were my mountains, and I was at the top of the food chain, not the cougar. I backed up the pickup, put it in first gear, then second, and then third as I steered right for the cougar. He jumped out of the way, and I drove home to get my dad and a gun. When we returned, the cougar was nowhere in sight. I guess he got the message. Dad and I pulled the deer off the road and went home to call a local cougar hunter who had dogs. The next morning arrived, and with it the local cougar hunter. As he stepped from the pickup and I saw the short stature, petite build of the guy who was supposed to be this great hunter, I couldn't help but laugh. Somehow, I had expected a thick-built, tough-looking guy with a no-nonsense demeanor. I had heard stories of him before, about him in fights and many other things. He was dirty from head to toe and chewed Copenhagen like a child chews bubble gum. His hair was shoulder length, and he looked a little worse for wear, to say the least. I was busy loading the pickup with hay bales to feed the cows, so I did not follow Dad over when he went to say hi and tell him what happened to me the night before. I could overhear them talking about cougar hunting, and I have to admit the idea of cougar hunting has intrigued me to no end. Soon the hunter and Dad made their way towards the pickup where I was busy stacking hay. The man looked me up and down as if I might be his next chew of Copenhagen, and then with little effort he said, "Hello." As Dad and him talked, I noticed he never took his eyes off me. It made me nervous. Maybe he had never seen anyone work before. Then I heard my dad tell him I was interested in shooting the cougar since I had a cougar tag. The man looked up at me and spat a chew of Copenhagen out of his mouth. I am guessing it was meant to hit the ground, but it never did. The glob of spit dripped off his chin and onto the third button of his shirt, where he let it stay. I almost puked. I might be a backwards country bumpkin, but he gave even hillbillies a bad rap. "So you want to kill a cougar, little lady?" "Yeah," the man asked as again he spat a pitiful stream of tobacco juice off his chin again. Only this time I watched with horror as it made its way to the fifth button of his shirt. "Yes, I do," I answered. "Well, jump in my truck and we will go get you a cougar then, little lady," he said. I looked at the wreck he called a truck. From the outside, it was a driving heap of rusted metal. I soon found that besides the 2 hound dogs that shared the seat with my rifle and me, there was another guy and 2 holes in the floor. I was made to sit in the middle with the other guy driving and the cougar hunter riding shotgun. But to top it all off, I had 2 dogs trying to lick my face and crawl over the top of me at the same time. It was a horrible ride. I clung to my rifle for all I was worth. Once we stopped, a mile from the house, I was so glad to be out of the truck. I looked over the scene from the night before. I could tell the deer had been pulled another 50 yards towards the tree line. Most likely the cougar had come back during the night. The dogs were quick to pick up a scent, and the chase was on. We ran after them through the woods and up over the mountains, down to the river and still farther. The dogs followed the cougar. The cougar hunter followed the dogs, and I followed his smell. When we finally reached the dogs, the cougar hunter leashed them and handed one to me, saying, "Don't let him go, no matter what." So we headed back to the truck. Halfway back, he stopped and, still holding his dog's leash, leaned against a tree and stared at me. "What?" I said. "You know, you aren't very pretty," he said, "but I like my women that way." I stared at him, dumbfounded. "Do you pick up a lot of girls with that line?" I asked. "If you don't mind, I would like to ask your father for permission to date you." At that point, I puked in my mouth, and a sneeze could have knocked me over. I almost let go of the dog. "My dad doesn't allow me to date," I said as I continued up the trail. "That is sure too bad, but he may make an exception for me. I will see," he said from somewhere behind me as I picked up the pace. The ride to our place was miserable. He kept looking at me with a smile, which revealed the Copenhagen stuck between his tobacco-stained teeth. I was so happy to be back at our house, I jumped from the pickup and headed for the house. I felt the need to shower, or should I say, scour. I told Dad what happened, and he laughed because it ends up Cougar Hunter told Dad he would like to date me. My dad, being the humorous guy that he is, decided to tell him that it was entirely up to me. My mom freaked, saying, "You will not date him." "Oh, shucks, Mom. You mean I can't date him in his Copenhagen chewing, barely off his chin spinning ways? Gosh, you ruined my whole life." "Not." If you enjoyed these stories, please let me know. Thanks so much for listening. And next week, we'll have more stories from Don Nelson.